So if Ted Stevens is in the headlines, it's safe to say, based on the news over the last couple of months, that you don't know what to expect. Joining us now is Libby Casey, reporter for Alaska Public Radio Network in Washington. She's the Washington Bureau Chief for the Alaska Public Radio Network. Libby, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Stephen Gillers, professor of legal ethics at New York University, joins us by phone. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Man, that was a blockbuster yesterday. All Ted Stevens said was this.
Tell them all I'm going to enjoy this wonderful day. That's all.
A wonderful day? That's right, because the former senator was not only cleared of corruption charges, but the people that went after him were practically hauled off to jail. Libby Casey was in court. What happened, Libby?
Well, Judge Sullivan has had some major blow-ups in the courtroom during the trial when he found out prosecutors hadn't turned over information to the defense. But yesterday, his anger was controlled and simmering, and he virtually spat out his words to the assembled audience. Now the Justice Department lawyers who have been criticized and are being accused of misconduct were not in the courtroom, so he wasn't able to sort of vent his spleen on them. But he had some very strong words and said this case has been shocking and disturbing, and in his nearly 25 years on the bench, he hasn't seen anything approaching the mishandling and misconduct in this case.
Stephen Gillers, let's talk about what the recourse is. The issue was raised in court that maybe there is some sort of punitive action that the judge can take against the prosecutors. Is there any precedent for that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Judges can appoint special prosecutors to recommend, if advised, a prosecution for a criminal contempt or obstruction of justice. And that's what this fellow Schulke is going to do now. He's going to look at all the documents and decide whether or not to recommend a prosecution.
So let's talk about the Justice Department then, to both of you. This was a case that initiated during the George W. Bush era. Eric Holder, the current attorney general, decided to walk away from this case and actually recommended that Ted Stevens be cleared. How much of this is a matter of succession, and how much of this does Eric Holder have to deal with for the next 4 years, Libby Casey?
Well, the judge yesterday really focused his criticism on Attorney General Michael Mukasey, who was appointed under George W. Bush and had nothing but high praise for Holder and everyone. Ted Stevens himself thanked the new Attorney General. So Holder's really trying to turn over a new leaf here, and this was a display by him that nonsense will not be tolerated, misconduct will not be tolerated. You know, though, he sort of had to do this because more evidence was uncovered just 2 weeks ago that wasn't turned over to the defense, and Ted Stevens' lawyers would have had a field day with this.
So, Stephen Gillers, what is the question of succession here? We saw that the U.S. attorney scandal under Attorney General Gonzalez, where politically motivated firings of U.S. attorneys suggested that the Justice Department was kind of a political arm of the executive branch. Is this another example? Is the Ted Stevens prosecution another example of politics at DOJ? And how much of this is Eric Holder going to have to deal with of stuff that's under the rocks we might not even know about?
I don't think we can politicize the Stevens prosecution. He was a Republican, after all, and indicted by a Republican administration. So it's not like former Governor Siegelman of Alabama, who was a Democrat, who was indicted by a Republican administration. Holder has change the tempo, change the temperature in the room with his remarkable, almost revolutionary decision to drop this case. We may find out that there's more beneath the rock than we know so far. It may be a lot worse than has so far become public to justify that decision.
But we've seen in the past few years the rise of U.S. attorneys as very, very visible public figures. It's almost like the Spitzerization of the U.S. attorney's office, where people make names for themselves in almost autonomous prosecutorial dramas. Is there any way to correct that, and is that a good thing?
There's no way to correct it. You know, there are hundreds of U.S. attorneys. The prominent examples are few in comparison. I mean, the most prominent, I guess, is Rudolph Giuliani when he was U.S. attorney. There's no way to correct it. People do use that position as a stepping stone to politics. That's always been so. It will always be so. What we saw in the Bush administration is almost an unabashed politicization of the Justice Department at every level. And Holder has told us now that's not going to happen anymore, and that's obviously good.
Well, we shall see. So what does Ted Stevens do now, Libby Casey?
That is the million-dollar question. He left yesterday with his family, and this was very emotional. He really treated this like his Rocky moment, like he'd come back from behind and taken victory. His daughters were crying, and all of his supporters and staffers were acting like he'd been exonerated, and that's not necessarily the case. It's not that he has been found not guilty. The Justice Department just really screwed up. As to what he's going to do next, he says one thing he would like to devote some time to after the dust clears is to making sure problems like this don't happen to future defendants. So he may be lobbying and working with his former Senate colleagues to try to change the laws a little bit. He was himself an attorney. He is an attorney, rather. And he has a lot of experience in that. He was worked for the government as a lawyer. We're not sure, though, what he's going to do. He has a home here in Washington. He has a home in Alaska.
He could buy some new furniture. Home in Alaska.
Well, we think he'll probably spend a lot of time here, but the question is, what can he do that's valuable with his life? Because he is such an active person. He's 85 years old, but this guy, I mean, he's not ready to retire, that's for sure.
Well, I covered Ted Stevens when I was in Washington years and years and years ago. If I was Sarah Palin, I would be worried about him running for governor. Libby, you want to get into some wild speculation?
Well, that did come up last week. Congressman Don Young, who was Stevens' colleague, you know, from Alaska for many decades, said, you know, I want to see this guy keep doing something productive. Why doesn't he run for governor? Now Young's people were quick to say he's not trying to set up a Palin-Stevens duel, but that sort of was the implication. And would Ted Stevens do that? Would he run for governor at the age of 85? Hey, you know, it's anybody's guess. I think the idea, though, is that some Alaskans would like to see him back in public service. We did have a call-in program in Alaska, though, and a lot of folks called in and said they think he got off on a technicality. So the mood in Alaska is very split right now.
Huh, that's interesting. I can't tell which aspect of the story I most love, the politics or the legal issues. I'll give you the final word, Stephen Gillers. You think Eric Holder is out of the woods on this one, and he's really had an opportunity to signal it's a new world at the Justice Department?
Well, he's half out of the woods. DOJ has taken a real hit, and it's going to take time to mend this wound. We're going to have to wait and see. But no one should fail to realize that Stevens was able to achieve this result because he was wealthy and because he had an excellent white-collar criminal defense firm. This is an endemic problem. There are lots of indigent or near-indigent defendants who are unable quickly to have their convictions overturned for prosecutorial misconduct. Sometimes never, and sometimes only after they've spent a decade or two in prison.
Great point. Stephen Gillers, professor of legal ethics at New York University, thanks so much. And Libby Casey, reporter for Alaska Public Radio Network in Washington, D.C. Thanks to you, Libby.
Thank you.
Thank you.